This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Chalk prevails in the top four of the draft last night. We end up having six quarterbacks in the top 12. A bad beat on the wide receivers prop. The Raiders take a tight end.
Yeah.
So much to unpack. And I buried the lead of the fact that the Atlanta Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. at number eight overall.
The lead is you didn't trust your instincts on J.J. McCarthy. And you went with the public. And you got sucked in on all the Twitter noise. And your instinct said, I'm not bet. And you went and met. It's the only bet you made that wasn't a good bet.
My only loser.
Right.
And was that's the under 5.5.
To ignore the noise. Ignore the noise of all this rhetoric. Your instinct said, you cover college football for a living. You see all this, right? So you trusted it. It made no sense to you. But yet you fell into it. And look, there could have been a case where he would have been fourth, and maybe it was fortunate. But the reality of it is I think the lesson is the news of the day is trust your instincts.
And I got to tell you, Michael, even though I lost that bet, I was thrilled that a team didn't reach and say, okay, we're going to go ahead and take a guy that's 15th, 16th on the board as our number four overall pick in the first round. So that was a relief to me. I think J.J. McCarthy ended up in a wonderful landing spot with the Minnesota Vikings. No better coach for him in that situation than Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, all right.
Of the weapons that are going to be around him. Opportunity to sit with Sam Darnold being that bridge quarterback. So much to like about that situation. By the way, this is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings on a Friday as we are recapping a busy, busy Thursday. Round two of the draft beginning later on tonight, which we'll preview in a little bit here. What were some of your biggest takeaways, though, from last night?
I mean, I've been hammering the Falcons, so let's put them all, let's put them off to the side. You know, my takeaway was this obsession with offensive players. The Raiders not taking an offensive lineman. Look, the Raiders are sitting there at 13. They didn't get the quarterback they want. They don't have a quarterback of the future. It's not Gardner Minshew. I understand they couldn't get the quarterback. Sometimes you can't. The Giants couldn't get the quarterback they wanted, right? It just happens, and you can't force it. But you have to go back to your team-building methodology and say to yourself, look, you know, we've got to fix this offensive line. And the only way we're going to catch the Chiefs is through great defensive and offensive linemen. They didn't do that. And I think Seattle on the over prop this year is really a good bet. I think McDonald's a good coach. I think he's going to be really good. I think the improvement they're going to have defensively, because they've got some good players on defense. Now they add Murphy inside, who I loved, who a lot of people had as their best defensive player on the board. Wasn't Dallas Turner. You know, and I think some other teams were trying to get up to get Murphy from the back end because there should be no reason he slipped. He should have went 9 or he should have went 8 to Atlanta. And I think that Seattle did. And I think the other one, you know, I've been very critical of Gus Bradley and his defense at Indianapolis because it relies so much on pass rush. It relies so much on the front four, much like Chicago's pass rush defense relies on them. And I think to get Latua, one of the best rushers in the draft, who is better than Dallas Turner, not that Dallas Turner's not a good player, I think that was a really good pick. And I just think, to me, the art of team building is getting thrown out by some of these teams because you're not going to catch the team you have to beat if you can't control the line of scrimmage.
I do think it's interesting that two players who throughout this draft process, we were questioning how teams were going to react and evaluate the medical, end up going in the top 14. Michael Penix Jr., of course, to number 8 overall to the Falcons. And then Leatu Latu, who you mentioned, at number 15 overall, who we were talking about could be the best defensive player in this draft. But will he ultimately get picked there because of the injury concerns that he has with his neck fusion surgery? And not only is he the first defensive player off of the board here, Michael, but he comes at number 15. We had a run of 14 straight offensive players to a record 23 in the first round.
You know, when I came in here yesterday to get ready for the GM Shuffle Draft Show, Tim, who joined us, did a great job. Tim Murray and JVT were sitting here. And I came in and I announced to both of them that there were going to be six quarterbacks picked in the first 12. Not because I thought that. I was told that. You know, and they both boo-hoo me and ha-ha. And the reason, so when you get six of the picks are quarterbacks, that only leaves, right? That only leaves 9 other positions. And so we know there's that the three receivers are certainly worthwhile to pick. Now, would I have guessed Bowers, a tight end, goes at 13? Especially a tight end that's not an on-the-line why. Mm-hmm. you know, it's not like you're getting a dual, getting a really good receiving tight end, which is important, but we saw that happen. I just think it's the way it went, and some teams have decided to ignore. Look, the reason you're picking in the top 10 is probably because your defense stinks.
Jason Fitz, you know him, correct?
Former ESPN. Yeah.
So he is a diehard Raiders fan, doing great work with Fox Sports Radio now. He tweeted, after years of hearing, wait, who is this guy? Wasn't he projected to go in the 87th round? After every first round pick for my beloved Raiders, I refuse to be negative about picking the best player available that was stunningly still available. So he's taking the little win of just like, we got a guy with name value who's extremely talented.
It's a really good win, but the problem is, will they all be around to enjoy it? You know, I mean, that's the problem. You can't block any, unless you can get a guarantee from Chris Jones to count the five Mississippi, you know, when you play the Chiefs, you're not going to throw that. You can't block. You have a quarterback who's 6 feet tall. He can't see down the field. He's a backup quarterback. He's your starting quarterback. Aiden O'Connell's not a starter. You've said this many times. You have no quarterback, right? And so you have a little guy quarterback. What do you do? You lost your best running back. Okay, I get that. Zaire White, you improved it. You say, okay, we want a back that can do more. That's cheaper. No, it not can do more, but it's cheaper. To me, this Raider way is a slogan.
Yeah.
The Raider way is a foundation of team building. There's two different elements there.
We mentioned it in the first hour, but I just think that for a team like that, it's so crazy to me that when you think about building your team around a way to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs, if you don't have the quarterback, you do need defense, and you have so much talent in Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins. Imagine adding another one of those really talented guys to that group. Even if you could get a Quinyon Mitchell as a great corner.
Oh, yeah.
Like there were so many options there at 13. So to see that be what they do, I think is interesting. Polly Howard tweeted at Circa, the Raiders to take a tight end, not even to take specifically Brock Bowers, although obviously the first tight end off the board would be him. 100-1 was the price here for that to happen.
It made no sense. I mean, it really, because he can't shift the field. I mean, he needs a quarterback to get him the ball. He's dependent on the quarterback. They don't really have an elite quarterback. And then, you got Davante Adams. He wants the football. You got Jacoby Myers, who's a good inside slot receiver. So, you know, you've got that. Where are we going here now? You know, where's the art of team building? And look, Telesco has always ignored the offensive line at the Chargers. That's what he did. He's tried to mix and match it. Now, later in his career, he drafted Slater. He drafted Johnson from Boston College. But that line was always put together. This line is a disaster. It's not a good line. It really isn't. I mean, I'm being nice. It's not. And so when you have Parnum, who's a center, trying to play guard, they've worked on this before. Parnum couldn't play guard, but now they have to play him at guard. They signed Andre James back to a contract, even though they weren't sure they wanted to do that. They don't have anybody. Now, defensively, love the Wilkins signing. Love that. Think he's great. But if you put Murphy next to Wilkins, all of a sudden now, how many times, this is what I'll continue to say until I'm blue in the face, the more guys that you have in a defensive line that can win one-on-one matchups against offensive linemen makes your defense better. So you know two guys are blocking Max Crosby at all times. So now inside, if you have Wilkins and you have Murphy, all of a sudden somebody's one-on-one. And you're going to win that most times. You're going to win that with these guys because they're good. And then on the outside, if Tyree Wilson comes around and he makes, or Malcolm Kuntz, you got to, that can close the gap. That gives, how did they beat Kansas City on Christmas Day? Because their front dominated Kansas City's defensive line, offensive line. That's what that's going to take again. They didn't close the gap on Kansas City. Their number did not shift one instance. On the overprop, it didn't move an inch.
The projection for Brock Bowers was, for most people, to go to the New York Jets. And I got to tell you, Michael, I am so dang proud of the New York Jets for taking Olu Fashanu. That's what they should have done.
Given the Ifers credit, right? That's who the new general manager of the Bears, Caleb Williams, wanted them to pick, too. He tweeted that out. And I think that makes sense. Because if you look at the Bears' offensive line, I think to me, that's a real weakness of their team. They're not great in the offensive line. And everybody wants to say, well, Houston had, when C.J. Stroud went into Houston, all of a sudden things changed. Well, Houston's got Tunsil at left tackle. They got Howard at right tackle. They drafted a center. They put a lot of money in their offensive line. They signed Shaq Mason. That offensive line in Houston to help Stroud was way better than this offensive line in Chicago, or way better than the offensive line here in Las Vegas. To me, it comes down to, can we protect the quarterback? Mm-hmm. Or else you're into the mayhem. You're into the same situation that happened in Washington where Sam Howell's getting the crap beat out of him.
As we look at the six quarterbacks that are taken in the top 12, who do you think is in the best situation for their rookie year?
I think Bo Nix, because the head coach is 100% behind him, and he'll do everything to make sure he looks good. And the connection between him and the head coach is going to be good. I love the J.J. McCarthy connection. I think that mm-hmm. Kevin O'Connell will develop the quarterback. I think Drake May is going to have to redshirt. I don't know if Alex Van Pelt has the capability or the capability to develop Drake May, because it's going to require it. And so he's got Ben McAdoo's there too. Ben McAdoo's a very good evaluator of talent and quarterbacks. I think Jaden Daniels, it's going to be interesting to see, can they get him to make a second play? You know, Jaden Daniels ran for over 1,000 yards, really good. You know, and threw the ball in the middle field, had really good receivers to throw the ball. Obviously, two guys get drafted in the first round. But can he throw the ball outside the numbers? I think that's going to be the question mark. Look, Caleb's going to be good. I mean, Caleb's problems aren't going to be on the field. It's going to be, can he connect to his teammates and his personality? If you talk to SC and you talk to other places. But can they protect him too, yeah. Stormy?
One thing that I will say, because there have been a lot of question marks about Caleb Williams, the person, and how well-liked he might be from his team, clearly well-liked by the public. Chicago's number one overall pick broke the Fanatics record for draft night merchandise sales for any draft in any sport, beating the previous record that was just set by Caitlin Clark and Trevor Lawrence ahead of her. So Caleb Williams jersey sales were flying off of the shelf yesterday Chicago.
Bears fans are great. I mean, they're going to buy them all. I mean, they're amazing. And you know, look, let me say something. He's going to get all the money for Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's a lock.
We'll discuss that and a whole lot more when we come back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season, and the GM Shuffle podcast is a must listen for any and every football fan. Here our guy, Michael Lombardi, giving his unfiltered opinions on players, teams, and roster decisions every single week. You can download and subscribe to the GM Shuffle podcast from VSiN and DraftKings today or wherever you get your podcast. A fresh new episode dropping this morning. Michael and Femi getting into it with their reactions of the draft.
We didn't disagree. Femi and I were good. You know, Femi was a huge Bo Nix fan coming out. I mean, he had a ticket for him on the MVP, on the Heisman. He was really pushing for him to
be
the
Heisman. I do remember that.
Remember that? And yeah. I kept saying, Femi, you're not going to win this because the Heisman, you know, they're not giving the Heisman to Bo Nix, especially with somebody from LSU and thing. But he was all over it, you know, and then, you know, I think with probably didn't get him the Heisman was they didn't beat Washington the two times they had a chance to play him. So, but he was all over it. And, you know, I think to me, he was, I don't want to say vindicated, but he kind of liked the player. And I think that certainly helped it. But I mean, Femi's face when Atlanta turned in the Penix thing, and he likes, like we all do, we like Penix, yeah. We all did, was surprising. But I think to me, it's a lesson that if you don't marry the draft with the free agency with the draft, you end up wasting $90 million. Look, if Atlanta takes Penix at 9, at 8, and everybody in America, everybody in the world knew Penix was going to be available at 8, what was the prop you played? What was the bet you made on Penix?
Plus 190 for him to be a first-round pick, under 32.5.
And when did you make that?
I made it a week ago. And it ended at odds on, like, minus 320.
Right. So you made it. So all through February, March, and most of April, he was plus money.
For
it
sure.
wasn't until we got to the draft that he became, and it was going to be more in the back end of the first round, right? And it was a little bit the Raiders threatening to take him. So to me, if you're the Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot, I mean, if you're him, like how do you not go into the offseason and say, look, let's save our money. We'll draft Penix here at 8. We'll spend this money on other players and improve our defense. Like, that's the conversation.
That's the thing. You do one or the other.
Right.
You don't do both. I love the clip is already going viral on Twitter of you with the two Rolexes.
You don't need two Rolexes. I mean, do you wear two? I don't even wear a watch. Do you wear two Rolexes? You know, I don't have a Rolex. Millie does. I don't have a Rolex, you know? So
Shout out Millie.
Yeah, she has a Rolex. I don't have one. But I don't wear a watch. And so, like, why do you need that? Like, how does it, you can't, like, I don't understand how they convinced Arthur Blank to do this. I don't know how that conversation went. Like, I don't know how, like, I could get Dominic, my six-year-old grandson, to basically figure this out. He would ask a good question.
Did you see the clip of Terry Fontenot talking to Arthur Blank
yeah.
in the room after? It looked uncomfortable.
Awkward, right? It did, yeah. I mean, I love Arthur's red coat, you know? I mean, that was funny. We were at Sinatra's one night. Millie and I were having dinner with the family. Mickey was there, Matt, and everybody was there. And Arthur Blank comes walking in, and Millie's like, I dare you to go over there and tell him he made a mistake not hiring Belichick. And I was like, I should have done that. But, like, look, he got talked out of it, and we know this. But, again, this is not a critique of Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. This is a critique of, I think, actually – and let's put it, spin it back to betting. I think their numbers should go down in the win total because they've done nothing to help their defense that's going to be of substance. They really haven't. Kirk Cousins, they're not one player away. One of the things I wrote about in Football Done Right is any team that always believes they're one player away is lying to themselves. And their defense can't pressure the quarterback. They're 29th in forcing turnovers, 27th in interceptions. They can't make any plays.
Yeah.
So where are they going to get this? Bill Walsh used to say this all the time. The key to football is to have somebody who can rush the passer in the fourth quarter to win the game. You have to have that to be a good team. The Falcons don't have that.
I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. With this Atlanta Falcons team believing so firmly that they are ready to win now. And, I mean, bettors have believed that too. Minus 130 to win the NFC South this year. High expectations with Kirk Cousins stepping in if they can utilize and get the most out of the weapons that they have on offense, right? If you really believe that you can win, you should be doing everything you can to win now. Instead of, in my mind, just having a succession plan that gives you as a general manager added length and opportunity to keep your job instead of winning to keep your job. That's yeah. what's blowing my mind is don't you want to win to keep your job?
Right. You do. But if you've been able to convince the owner like Kaiser Soze McKay has for 20 years and he's 169 and 170 and now he's the executor of the Falcons owner's will. I mean, you don't sell that you're trying to win.
No.
I mean, and don't insult my intelligence. Put your name in the article. I put my name in that article. Mm-hmm. I'll defend my friend Bill Belichick. I don't really care what they say. To me, I'll defend them. To sit there like win total at 9.5. I don't see it. I think they're not – look, they were not a playoff-caliber team last year. They blame Arthur Smith for everything. I would love to hear Arthur Smith's commentary on yeah. this. Wouldn't you love to hear what Arthur Smith have to say?
For
last
sure.
year, you told me we don't want Lamar Jackson. And this year, now you have two quarterbacks. You're wearing two Rolexes.
They were a sub-500 team last year. Like that's
They've
that's
been what, a sub-500 team for 3 years in a row.
They haven't made the playoffs in 7 years.
I know.
And again, we've taken different layers of the comparison to the Green Bay Packers situation and drafting Jordan Love when you have Aaron Rodgers on there. But don't you think that Aaron Rodgers would have liked to have another weapon after they're coming off a 13-win season and pushing for
Nick
a Super Bowl?
I mean, Nick made a great point, as much as I kid him about the receivers, but you put T. Higgins on that
yes.
team. I mean, that would have made Aaron Rodgers a lot better than Jordan Love. Now, it worked out down the road. But
did it work out? Because they didn't get another Super Bowl.
They didn't get another Super Bowl out of Aaron Rodgers. Right. They get lost two conference championship games at home.
They got
lost
how many MVPs, but only one Super Bowl.
Exactly right. So, like, the same thing here with Atlanta. Look, don't tell me you signed, tell me how Penix gets on the field if Kirk Cousins is healthy. Tell me how he gets on the field.
And Steph was funny when we were texting last night. She was like, you know what you love about you just buy a quarterback that's coming off of an injury is signing another one that's had injury history. Yeah. You know, that's great. I mean, it's the same thing, honestly, with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers right now. He's coming off of an Achilles and their backup quarterback, Tyrod Taylor's had significant injury history.
You know, we've given the Ifers a lot of crap here on the show, and I have certainly, but at least they picked an offensive lineman
did.
And they protected themselves.
I thought they were going to mess it up, and they didn't mess it up.
I thought they were, too, and they made it clear that they weren't going to. So give them credit there that they addressed it. Look, we knew New Orleans. I mean, some of these teams still get it. They're not intoxicated by this notion we're playing Madden football. Like, I just don't understand how – I mean, next year Odunze could be a really good player because Keenan Allen won't be on the team. But you just wasted the ninth pick overall in the draft when you could have a defensive tackle who would have been disruptive inside.
Speaking of our conversation earlier with Nick and all the wide receivers, 7 wide receivers taken in the first round. So that prop that was juiced crazy, $3-$4 to the under, ends up going over at a plus money price. The 5th wide receiver was taken at 28 when the Chiefs traded up for Xavier Worthy. Still 5 going into pick 31. And then the 49ers take Ricky Pearsall and the Carolina Panthers trade up to take Xavier Leggett. But let's stick with that Chiefs pick there, because they had to do a trade with the Buffalo Bills in order to get it.
The Bills obviously said they weren't interested in the receivers. That was pretty clear. Now, could they get Deebo Samuel? Because we know Michael Silver, who knows what's going on in San Francisco. He said that the Niners are now more likely to trade Deebo than they are Ayuk. I said they should trade Deebo. I said it when I was on the Pat McAfee show the other day. That's who they should trade, because he's. I know it's painful.
Don't
you to hear.
Don't trade anybody.
I know it's, but they can't afford them all, Stormy. These receivers are making over $30 million. We just saw A.J. Brown redo his deal at 30-some million. We know CeeDee Lamb's going to get paid. We know Jefferson's going to get paid, right? And so you can't have two $30 million players at the position. You just can't. You just can't. As much as this generation wants to draft multitude of receivers, you can't have it. You know, you can't. You got to draft them. And so the Pearsall pick is really not, has anything to do with their receiver room. It has everything to do with the depth in the room. If they were to trade Samuel to Buffalo, that makes Buffalo make sense. Buffalo just didn't like the receivers. Worthy is fast. There's no question. He's not Tyreek Hill at 160 pounds. Tyreek Hill is a strong, strong, strong. Remember, Tyreek Hill coming out of Oklahoma State was a running back. Mm-hmm. He was a running back. He was not a, and he made him a slot receiver. And he made him a receiver. And because he was big and strong and he could do that. It's an interesting pick for Kansas City. It really is.
For the 49ers there with Ricky Pearsall, I covered him this past year at Florida, also when he was at ASU. And Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall actually were friends. They were teammates there for a little bit at ASU. And Ayuk, I guess, texted Shanahan, fire pick, can't lie. And CJ Stroud and Micah Parsons were doing like a live stream reaction to the draft as well. When Pearsall went, his reaction was, oh no, because he would like to have Ricky Pearsall. He said, bro, he's elite. I wanted him so bad. He's nasty. So nice to see that type of reaction.
Yeah,
from
that's
a quarterback
what you want.
Like how
that's
good
what
he
you,
is.
You don't want the reaction that the Falcons got. You want the reaction that the Pearsall
well,
got.
Well, and a lot of people were like, I didn't see Ricky Pearsall being a first round pick. So to get those types of reactions,
yeah, well,
I think
that's
are
because
positive.
Nobody had him going in the mock. You know, it all comes back to how you have him in the mock. It doesn't matter. If you don't follow the mock draft board, then you're going to get an F. I mean,
he can get open. Like that is the biggest takeaway that I had from
isn't
watching
that the
Ricky Pearsall.
Job receivers
yes.
to catch it and get open,
and if the ball is like in his vicinity, he's the one that's coming
catch
down with it. Those are
open.
The two keys that you need as
that's
a receiver,
what you have
right?
To do. Catch and get open.
But that leads us to the start of the draft today, because with Buffalo trading out of the first round, they'll have the first selection beginning in round 2. We'll dive into that as well as the rookie of the year prop markets for offensive and defensive players of the year. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on the Lombardi Line. If you haven't yet, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com, where we lay out all the best bets from all of our VSiN show hosts and guests, betting splits, exclusive articles, and a whole lot more over at VSiN.com, including MLB top plays based on betting splits, power ratings, and trends from our own Steve Mackinnon live today. JVT has his NBA best bets for the postseason, and Mike Somich post first round NFL futures. Already all up on the website right now. Again, check it out, VSiN.com.
And if you join and you did that, which you should do, Matty Eumanns was 18-3 on his picks on that website.
It.
He would have made you money to pay for your subscription for 2 years. He made you enough money. He was killing it over there.
He gave out a bunch of plays on our show earlier this week. Will Hill crushed it in the draft this week too.
It, yeah.
So like a lot of like, if this doesn't tell you that you can win in the draft and you can win using VSiN, I don't know what
and,
does.
And again, I think the other lesson is like what we talked about with you, don't listen to the noise. And the other thing is don't necessarily draw conclusions based on last year. Mm-hmm. Now everybody thought there was going to be a bunch of trades. I know Peter Schrager said there could be even more than 10 trades, you know, and then a Rappaport went lower. I think it's so hard. To me, the predicting the trades is really hard, because you got to know everybody's board. You got to know everybody's motivation. I think that's a hard prop to play into. I really do. Yeah.
Especially at the top of the draft, we didn't have those. The prop was set at 6.5. I think they had, what, 5?
Yeah, it was. It hit the under. And I think, to me, that's a hard one to predict. The one that I think I probably didn't hit hard enough on was I had 12 defensive players that were first-round worthy. And I think it was that, you know, and if you could have gone, that prop ended up playing out really well because so many offensive players went. Yeah,
23 offensive players. The previous record was 19, 3 times, and it blew that out of the water, obviously, this time around. So round one is now in the books. 32 players have now made their way into the NFL ranks. 255 names still going to be heard from the stage over the next couple of days. Buffalo is going to be on the clock first today after trading out of the first round. The Chiefs go up and get Xavier Worthy. So Buffalo's picking at 33, followed by New England, Arizona. Washington has 2 picks in the top 8 today. Which teams have important picks today in your mind?
You know, I said this, you know, Elliot asked me this question a couple of weeks ago, what was an important draft? And I think this is really important for the Bills, right? And, you know, now, could they find a way to get another receiver? Are they involved in a Deebo Samuel trade? I don't know. Are they involved in Ayuk? I don't know. But I do think they need to address that area, especially losing somebody as good as Stephon Diggs, who they probably feel like they needed to move on from because of his locker room, you know, behavior and all the problems that they went through. You know, for Buffalo, clearly they didn't like the receiver board. They had a lot of receivers that they had clustered together. They added more picks, which, you know, I'm not going to argue with how they evaluated the receiver board just because they don't do what the mock drafters want them to do. But I do think that this is going to be a key day for them because they've got to get somebody who can come in and plug and play. And I'm not talking about plug and play 1,200 plays. I'm talking about 600 plays. I'm talking about somebody come in and contribute to their team. And they could go in defensive lineman if they thought they liked one. Or, you know, this is receiver. We think New England's going to take a receiver here. So what receiver would you want to take? And clearly Buffalo said, we're not interested in taking a receiver. Because once they moved away from him, all the receivers started to go.
And they've had all night to think about it. So when they're on the clock later on tonight at 7 Eastern.
This pick's always the one you want to have because it's got great value, especially if you can get somebody desperate to come up. Okay. You know, last year, Will Levis was this pick here. And there's no quarterback to come up to get in this draft. But to me, that's where I think ultimately, could they take Kool-Aid, the corner from Alabama? They could use a corner. Certainly they could. You know, they've tried to, you know, knowing their defensive coordinator is the head coach also. You know, that could lend itself into thinking there.
So there are a few head-to-head props going into today of who will be drafted first. And I'm curious if your thoughts on any of these players that you thought had first-round grades or could have gone earlier but are going to be available here in the second round. You have Adonai Mitchell head-to-head as a $2 favorite against Ladd McConkey at plus 150. Cooper DeJean still available. He's minus 165 versus Kool-Aid at plus 125.
Cooper DeJean is an interesting player here because, you know, he reminds me of, and he's very much like Micah Hyde from Iowa. They both played at Iowa. Micah Hyde was one of the Big Ten players of the year that year. I couldn't get him drafted when I was in Cleveland because he wasn't a corner. He wasn't a safety, yada, yada, yada. We went back and forth. But that would make sense for Buffalo. He fits Buffalo perfectly. Okay. He really does. And I think he's a better all-around. Kool-Aid's not in shape. Kool-Aid kind of has been resting on his laurels for a while.
You said in our commercial break, he's the who of
Joel Embiid of the draft. I mean, he's just never in shape, right? And so I think DeJean could be the guy that goes through that. Now, McConkey's a really good player. He's a really good player, and I like McConkey, but the medical on McConkey is a little bit of a concern. So you always worry about that. You know, when you look at the board and you see where these guys are going, you know, Thomas and Worthy, Mitchell and McConkey are both on that cusp of are they first rounders or second rounders. Mm-hmm. You know, Pearsall around the league was right in that group too. So for all the people that want to give them a hard time for picking them, he was right there. And it's just preference on what you want to do at that position. But I like McConkey. I really do. And McConkey and Mitchell are both what we call 1C players. Same thing with Coleman. Coleman, that group there. And Leggett was the guy that probably went earlier than most people had. He was more of a later second round player, but he went in the first.
Yeah, wide receiver out of South Carolina. So he gets to stay local for the hometown team, Carolina Panthers, which I'm sure will be cool for him to stay there. That accent is unbelievable, by the way. Fantastic. There were a couple great moments last night as well that I just, before we move
tell
on.
Tell me, I was sitting here.
You see, at least on social media, Brian Thomas's mom and dad?
No, I would have loved to seen that. Were they happy?
So it was so sweet. Oh my gosh, they're so happy. They're talking about how awesome it is that Brian Thomas, first round pick, all of these things. Doing an interview with Laura Rutledge, and Laura Rutledge asked his mom, how far has this family come? And she goes, well, we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It was the cutest moment.
Oh, I love that.
I've ever seen.
Tells you how good of a player Murphy must be, because for him to be grow up in Baton Rouge and go to Texas, it took a lot to Texas to get him. I mean, that's a huge jump there. But
there are a few cool moments like that. I hope you see him on social media.
Well, I'm going to look for that. I just always hate the one where they're trying to make us cry. Like, I don't want to cry. You know, I don't want to have to have tears on this thing. It's too happy of a day.
It is. That is the beauty of it too. Like, we can critique and we can make all the comments that we want to make, but at the end of the day, these are truly dreams come true for so many of these players that they've worked all their lives for this moment. It means so much to their families. So yesterday also, we talked a lot about the six quarterbacks going in the top 12 picks. After Bo Nix, there is a big drop off, a big gap from the next batch of quarterbacks. You've got the Spencer Rattlers, the Michael Pratts, the Joe Miltons down farther on the list. And there is a prop out there for who will draft Spencer Rattler. The Raiders right now are a plus 140 favorite, followed by the Rams and Giants as the next shortest shot at 5-1.
You know, I think to me, this one's hard because Spencer Rattler has got all the instincts and he's got the anticipation that you want. He just doesn't have a lot of the great skill that you need in terms of size and speed, you know. And so, like, if you're the Raiders, how much better is he than Aiden O'Connell? They both are like backup quarterbacks. Are you really improving your team? I don't think there's a quarterback out there. Now, we know Jim Nagy was on the show and he loves Michael Pratt as a potential starter. Obviously, you know, when you
he beat Caleb Williams in the Cotton Bowl,
George Payton and at the Denver Broncos said there's 8 starters in the draft. I can't see that. So, you know, I think to me, the Raiders to draft a quarterback that they can't identify as the starter and to draft another undersized guy would be hard for me to believe. The Rams, you know, I think the Rams would be in play here because I think the Rams want Stetson Bennett wasn't the guy for them. Now, he's still on the team. But, these second level quarterbacks, this isn't the round to draft them. And the fourth round is the round to draft them in because they're not starters. And this area of the draft is too important. You're going to get too many players that you need to come in and play right away.
So obviously we didn't see any first round running backs, which we've talked so much about how the value of running back has changed and how you can find running backs in deeper rounds, all those things. The running back that gets a lot of attention, Blake Corum, certainly from Michigan.
I mean, you got to think that he might be going to the Chargers here at the top of the second.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to me, you know, Jim's going to get guys in there that believe in Jim's program. It's plus 350. Look, Corum's a really good player. And he would fit them to a T. I think this is, you know, whether it's Brooks, whether it's Benson, whether it's Corum, whether it's Ray Davis from Kentucky, there's some there. Now, most of those guys are down in the board, more in the bottom of the second. But knowing that, you know, maybe Jim, knowing Jim as well as I do, he's going to want to get guys in that fit his mantra. He's done it a lot now. He's taken a lot of the guys, got Gus Edwards there. He signed J.K. Dobbins. There may not be a place for him, and he may have to go to another position.
The Chargers.
Roman Wilson. I mean, he could see him taking him, the receiver from there.
The Chargers are picking 5th today, so number 37 overall. We'll see what happens there. Plus 350 for Blake Corum to go to the Chargers and reunite with his former head coach and Jim Harbaugh. I look at the Cowboys and I'm like, the stuff with Ezekiel Elliott, like, do they sign Zeke for another year and draft a running back?
I think they're going to draft a running back in this round. Okay. I really do. I think, and if they draft a running back, the guy starts for him.
Alrighty, I'm trying to think, where did they pick? 24th today? So yeah, they have to wait a little bit.
They're going
to
wait. That's a painful day.
We'll be right back wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line after just nonstop content from Michael Lombardi. He's finally going to get a breather after this 15 minutes. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSIN. New customers that do bet $5 get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours as we wrap up this draft recap edition of the Lombardi Line. Welcome back. We're live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and we are not in the business, Michael, after just the first round of grading teams' drafts giving A's, B's, and C's, but you did put together a list of where you think the best fits were for certain players in the draft.
And I think, to me, this has a lot to do with, could this affect the win totals, right? I think there's certain players that are going to affect the win totals. John Ault, we'll start five, work our way up. To me, Ault's a really good player. Now, whether they play him at left tackle or right tackle, they'll probably put him at left tackle, move Slater over. It's going to make him way more physical as a team. And it's going to help the Chargers kind of control the line of scrimmage, which I think is really important for them to do that. So I like that pick. I think he makes a difference, right? Now, one of the things I didn't do in this, Stormy, just for a little bit of background, is I didn't put the quarterbacks in here because I think it's too hard to really say, okay, this quarterback's going to do this, this quarterback's going to do that. So I didn't really put the quarterbacks in because I didn't really want to kind of mess around with all that. And I wanted to be able to go for that. So that I did that. And so now here we go. The second pick is the kid from the Chargers, Jared Versa from Florida State. I think this is a really good pick. You're going to see the trend here, Stormy. It's a lot about defensive players because they do matter. This kid can rush the passer. He's a defensive end. He can get up the field. He plays with power to go along with the two kids that they drafted in the second round. I think that was a great pick. I love Quentin Mitchell as my third best pick with the Philadelphia Eagles because the one thing the Eagles needed was a legitimate corner, and they get a legitimate man-to-man corner. And then, obviously, I'm a huge Murphy fan. I think Seattle hit it out of the park. But I think the one pick that could really change the AFC South a little bit, and if you're going to beat C.J. Stroud, you got to be able to rush the passer. The Latua pick for the Colts, to me, is a really good fit. Mm-hmm. They need this pick to help Gus Bradley's defense. And those are my five because I think they'll move the needle outside of the quarterbacks that can. And, you know, everybody's going to – Neighbors, great player, but can they get him the ball?
Yeah.
Adunze, good player, but they've got other receivers on the team, right? So some of these things – Bowers, really a good player – they can't block anybody. How are we going to get them the ball, right? And so when you take the quarterbacks out and you start looking at the first round, these guys, to me, don't need anybody to help them other than themselves.
Again, in order, those top five best fits from round one here for Michael. The Colts taking Liatu Latu, the Seattle Seahawks, Byron Murphy, Philadelphia, Quinyon Mitchell, the Rams, Jared Verse, and Chargers, Joe Ault up front.
And that goes into their win total. Like, I think the Colts now, with a rusher on the outside, they've improved. They've re-signed their team, right? So they haven't really changed it. They got today and tomorrow to add more players. But they were close to beating Houston last year. They were close to beating. I mean, they're one-third, fourth-down play away from winning that game. So this edge is really going to help them. It really will help them. And I think their win total could be impacted by it. I think Seattle's win total is going to be something that you have to take a serious look at because Seattle's going to be much better on defense. There's no question.
So the Colts win total here, real quickly, just stick on that for a moment, sitting at 8.5 right now. It's juiced to the under at -135. But
that's because they didn't do any in free agency, right? They didn't make a move and everybody. But this player gives them a legitimate, if he's healthy, gives them a legitimate edge rusher. Yeah.
So +110 to the over there. And you think, too, like, we don't really know still what Anthony Richardson's going to be. So he's going to be back healthy. You've got some
protection.
He's
going to be better than Gardner Minshew. You got to think that, right?
And you've got protection now with Joe Flacco, too. So I think that
I like them on the over. I don't know if I put more than pizza money on it. I don't have like Seattle. I don't know if we have Seattle's profile here, Steph. But to me, Seattle adding what they've done this offseason with Seattle. Now, Seattle was
their
good.
Win total 7.5 right now.
I love that over. That might be my favorite over of all time because I think McDonald's a good coach. I think they're going to be better defensively than they ever were. Not disrespecting to Pete, but they were in transition on how they wanted to play. They got corners that can cover. They've got some more pass rushers. That offense is really good. Like, if Geno and their two tackles last year, if you remember, their two tackles, Abraham and Cross, they were both hurt for a lot of the part of the season. That running back, Murray's really good. This is a good team, Seattle. This is a really good team. And I think McDonald's going to make a huge difference. To me, Seattle is the Houston of this year's team.
Looking at the Defensive Rookie of the Year odds board right now, Dallas Turner has been bet down from, he was a co-favorite, plus 650 with Leatu Latu. Now Dallas Turner is a 4-1 favorite. Leatu 7-1. You can get Byron Murphy at 13-1.
Yeah, I mean, inside pressure is hard to get, and I would take a shot at that. Look, last year this was a slam dunk. It was definitely going to be Jalen Carter, and he didn't end up doing it. Will Anderson came through and cut through that. You know, Chop Robinson, now I don't know if he'll play enough for them because they got Phillips and they got Chubb. Is he going to be able to get on the field to get enough in there? I think that's the question. I think Mitchell, the
corner. Hold on. Before we move off Chop, you know how he got his name?
No.
Apparently he was like a 14-pound baby and he was just a massive child. And then they called him Pork Chop. And then as he got older, it just shortened to Chop. So
I know how that goes. Very fitting. I mean, look, the Eagles, Mitchell, I think Mitchell, now it's hard to give a corner unless he intercepts a lot of passes. How about Kool-Aid? He's on the board and he's not even drafted yet. That's a beautiful thing. Same thing with
he's
DeGene.
He's got the NFL logo on our graphic. Same That's with great. DeGene.
He's on the board. He's not even drafted yet. I love that. I think Mitchell, because of Philly's ability to rush the passer and his coverage man-to-man, look, the problem with Mitchell is to play him for Defensive Player of the Year, nobody's going to go after Mitchell, even though he's a rookie. They're going to go after Bradbury because they don't think Bradbury can cover.
10-1 the price on Quinion Mitchell. Jared Verse, 11-1. Chop, Terrion Arnold, and Byron Murphy all sitting 13-1. But again, Dallas Turner, your favorite there. And then to the surprise of nobody, Offensive Rookie of the Year favorite is the guy that went number one overall at minus 20,000, the price, which people were betting, which God help ya. He is a plus 200 favorite, followed by Marvin Harrison Jr., 6-1. Jaden Daniels, plus 650. J.J. McCarthy, 8-1. Malik Nabers, 9-1. And then Drake May, 16-1.
I would really put money on Marvin Harrison because with Kyler Murray, the mayor of Munchkinland, I think you got a chance to get him the football, right? And he's going to make a lot of plays. He's going to have a lot of catches for them. And they do a really good job of scheming their offense last year with really nothing, and they were able to do that. I like that one. That, to me, jumps out at me. Jaden Daniels, it's so hard for the rookies. McCarthy might not even play. Mm-hmm. You know, May's not going to play. I mean, Worthy's going to be a spot player. You know, Bo Nix is going to play, so there's somebody you might want to take a look at.
Roma Dunze you don't take because if he's having success, Caleb Williams is having success. So.
Yeah, so you know you're going to lose that play. Great point there. Yeah. You know, Penix is going to be standing next to you and I, so I don't understand, you know, how you would play that, right? I mean, so you can't play that one. The only thing that would hold, you know, Malik Nabers could really be special because he's so talented at 9-1. But, you know, you're counting on Daniel Jones.
If you're looking for a shot, could you take Brian Thomas Jr. potentially at 25-1 if Trevor Lawrence gets it together?
I don't trust him as a player to be – look at his career at LSU. There wasn't any consistency in his career at LSU. That would bother me. Could he take the world by – you know, he's got talent. He's a size speed guy. But you know, are you getting the ball to Thomas or you're getting it to Evan Ingram? Are you getting the ball to Thomas or you're getting the ball to Kirk? Are you getting the ball to Thomas or you're getting the ball to Devin Duvernay? Are you getting the ball to – you just signed Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
Like, how's he getting the ball? Like, how is he getting the ball? How many plays is he going to play?
That's it's like with bringing in Gabe Davis and him, it's like which one are you thinking truly is going to be your deep ball threat?
That's all Gabe Davis is a deep ball threat. He's an inside, he's a vertical outside and maybe run some digs. That's why Buffalo moved on. His route tree wasn't big enough. Nabers is the interesting one because you got to count on the Giants to pass protect. But he gives them a huge weapon out there that is hard to cut. He is a legitimate number one receiver. Harrison gives you a chance because they're gonna get the ball to him. He's the best receiver on the team. Same thing with Nabers. He's the best player on their team right now.
Yeah, but for me, I'm like, who's going to be throwing him the ball? Because is Daniel Jones going to be healthy? To your point, is he going to be upright, first of all? And then who's behind him?
And for all the talk, the Giants didn't want a quarterback. It was pretty clear they wanted one.
All right, Michael. So we have loved having you here. You've done about 5,000 shows over the course of the last 4 days. Are you relieved to get home soon?
I can't wait. I'm going to go see my grandkids today, which is great. And then I'm going to see them again tomorrow before I go home. But I got one more show to do and then I'm flying out of here. It's been great, though. I mean, who doesn't love the draft? I'm excited. I thought the Sixers were playing Saturday. They're playing Sunday now. I don't like that.
How hard was it for you last night to multitask on one of the screens?
I was watching it. I had it down here. Elliot put it finally down here in door number two here. So I was okay. But I told you I thought they would win. I didn't think they would cover. I thought they would win.
You didn't expect the 50 burger from
Joel Embiid. No, I didn't expect that. But look, I didn't expect Michael Penix to go the eighth pick overall in the draft either. So there are a lot of expectations that, you know, it was fun.
That
I love
the beauty of
great
sports.
Great to be here with you. Always great to be here with you, Stormy. I love it.
Appreciate you as always, Michael. I hope everybody cashed in last night with your bets on the draft, and you will moving forward as well with any of your NBA or NHL postseason wagers. That's a wrap for us here today. Coming up next on VSiN, Sharp Money with Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson, and the whole crew. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next week.